Okay, today we're going to learn Maseches Tainis, the laws of fasting, and it's incredible. It's like Rosh Hashanah, where you have to wait till the very end of the Masechta to learn the actual laws of Rosh Hashanah. And so too in Maseches Tainis, just only the very end of the Masechta talks about the fast days. Most of the Masechta is dedicated to the fasting in Israel for tragedies. Namely, if, God forbid, there's no rain in the proper season, or there are plagues, or the land is overrun by animals, or there's a tragedy in a particular town. The Gemara gives specific numbers of how many people die within a certain amount of time, like a pandemic perhaps. And that animates really the first three chapters. And then the fourth chapter continues on that theme. And again, as I say, only the very end talks about the fast days of the year. So let's start. The beginning of the Masechta talks about when we should start saying Mashiva Ruach Amrita Geshem in the prayers, in the davening. So Maseches Brachos tells us where in the Shmona Esrei we say it, in the second blessing, because Maseches Brachos is all about the brachos, the blessings, and the prayers. So that's mentioned there. Maseches Tainis says when in the calendar, because that Masechta is more interested in setting up a system whereby if it doesn't rain by a certain day, we have to get out there and pray for it and continue to try to garner God's graces. The rain comes from God, right? So this explains perhaps why the punishment for Moshe and Aaron being angry with Bnei Israel and hitting the rock is that they don't get to get into the land of Israel. That was a teachable moment for them to teach them that, you know, here in the desert, we got water from a be'er that followed us all the time. There was a wellspring that we always were able to quench our thirst. But when we get to Israel, you're not going to get water that way. You're going to have to get water from the heavens. You have to look up to the Shemayim for your water. So when we thirst, Moshe and Aaron should have just not calmly started a prayer vigil and teach them about Maseches Tainis at the time. When we get into Israel, we get our water in a different way. So that's really what the first three chapters are all about. Okay, and it starts off by when do you do this? You have to know what's the rainy season in Israel. They give specific dates in the Mishnah for if it passed this date and there's no rain, then we have different stages of fasting and different stages of praying and different people who pray depending on how bad it gets. Okay, that's really what the first chapter is about. And then how we not only mention the rain in Mashiva Chomer Geshem, but that we also ask for rain, we pray for rain. Later in the middle of the Shmona Esrei, we say Talu Matar, where we actually make the request for rain. So when it comes to just mentioning rain, so that we change over when the rainy season starts in Israel, we wait till the end of Sukkot because we really don't want it to rain on Sukkot itself. And then, if you live outside of Israel. So really, the Rambam and the Rosh say there should be a subjective time to ask for rain. We need rain in Australia at a different time than we need rain in Canada. So everyone should perhaps ask for rain in the same Talamatar where that location needs the rain. But that psak never really took ground. The whole world asks for rain based on the needs of the largest Jewish community at the time that the Shmona Esrei took shape, which is ironic, because what country was that at the time? Where did most Jews live at the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah if they didn't live in Israel? It was Bavel, Babylonia, which is Iraq. So Jews throughout the entire world outside of Israel pray for the rainy season of Iraq. Okay? So that is December 4th. It's supposed to be 60 days after the Tkufas Tishrei. which you could look at a calendar, is in November, not in December. So why do we start changing over in December? The answer is because of the Gregorian calendar, which added days to the calendar, right? So if you keep on just adding a leap year every 4 years, you're going to have to add some days at some point, because it's a little more than 6 hours a year beyond 365 days. So those extra minutes after thousands of years add up. So that's why we the Gemara discusses all of this. And I actually have a Shulchan Aruch that is so old that the printing predates the Gregorian calendar, and it says that you should change over on November 23rd to start saying the same Talamata. Look in any Siddur, our Siddur, and say December 4th or 5th. It's the 5th in the year after a leap year. The year before a leap year, because then the 6 hours become a majority of the day. Right? The first year of the leap year, it's 6. The second year, it's 12. The third year, it's 18. So with the third year, it's already the majority of the time. So the December right before a leap year, before they add that extra day, you go to December 5th. And then in the leap year, the next 3 years, you'll go back to December 4th. All of this is in the Gemara in the first parak. Second parak talks about how we fast on those fast days when it's not raining, and for what things besides not having rain. I mentioned a few before. And the third chapter is perhaps one of the most enjoyable chapters, entertaining chapters, I should say, in Shas. It has all the stories of great, great miracle workers that, you know, remember the famous one, most famous one perhaps, is Choni Ma'agel making a circle around himself and saying, I'm not leaving this circle until it rains. All kinds of stories of that sort. From Nachum Ishkamzu and these great leaders who enacted all kinds of miracles in times of need. So finally, the fourth chapter, B'shlosha Prakim B'shana, talks about some of the additional fasts, and these are times where we have additional prayers put into the davening called Ne'ilah. Now, for our minhag, it's only Yom Kippur that we have Ne'ilah, but back then they had Ne'ilah, you know, prayers at the end of the day, even for other events as well. And then finally, the Gemara discusses the four fast days for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Right? It doesn't mention Tanis Esther because that's a Purim thing. The four fast days, in order of the way they happened, was Asar B'Teves, the 10th of Teves, where the Babylonians laid siege on Jerusalem. Then the 17th of Tammuz, where the Babylonians broke through that siege. And then the 9th of Av, which of course is when the temple was destroyed itself. And then the 3rd of Tishrei, when Gedaliah was assassinated. Now, to tell you full disclosure, only one of those four dates actually appears in the Bible as it is, which is the 10th of Teves. Right? The Gemara discusses all of these in a very drastically different approach to this issue between the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi. And suffice it to say that these dates were chosen either because it had to be pushed off from Rosh Hashanah. The Radak says that Gedaliah was assassinated on Rosh Hashanah, but that we can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, so we fast the first day after Rosh Hashanah, or the second day after Rosh Hashanah, if that day is Shabbos. Okay? So this might explain why Asar B'Teves is pushed off of Shabbos, so we don't fast that day, because Asar B'Teves has a chumrah of the other fast days. If the Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, we do fast the next day. Because Asar B'Teves is actually listed for that day. Okay, the Masechta ends with the fact that Tu B'Av will be a great festival in the future because of Shaduchim, and it's the 15th of Av, and that's a day for, that's the Sugal for Shaduchim. It's 40 days before, according to the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, of the creation of man, of Adam and Chava, because they were created actually on the 25th of Elul, according to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. So 40 days before is Tu B'Av. So Mara tells us that 40 days before our creation, we are our bas kol, our bashert is referenced. So Tu B'Av becomes an important day of shiduchim, because that's the shiduch of Adam and Chava. 15th of Av will also be an important day this year because it's the last day you can plant a tree in Israel before the Shemitah year. Next year is the Shemitah year. So you have 1 month and 2 weeks. So the last day to plant the tree will be on Tu B'Av. Okay, that's how the Mamash, the Masechta, ends with the glory of Tu B'Av. The way our Mishnah appears is that this dancing that the women have with their white garments that they borrow from someone so as not to give an unfair advantage to the rich ones. It seems to say that the same thing goes on Yom Kippur, right? Shabbahem. And on both of those days, the girls dance like at the end of Sefer Shoftim. So the Gemara at the end of time, this lists about 7 or 8 things that happened on Tu B'Av or that are significant about Tu B'Av, as well as in Perkei Shnochel and in Bava Basra. And this is the beautiful way that the Masechta ends. It's a very, very popular Masechta. Students usually learn it in school, or I know many bar mitzvah boys try to learn it the year before their bar mitzvah. It was actually my first Masechta of completing of Shas, it's Maseches Tainis, and it's a very endearing Masechta. If you join the Daf Yomi soon, they'll be learning it shortly. And you can get in on the ground floor for Yuma also. And next week we will be learning Megillah. And then I'll tell you Thursday whether we do Moed Katan first or Chagiga first. That's a big controversy. And Mitzvah Shem will do that next week. Meanwhile, Hakol B'Seder, have a great day, everybody. Learn well, do good things. Chag Sameach, and have a wonderful day, everybody. Kol Tov.
Thank you. Stay healthy. Good day. Chag Sameach.